proclaiming God's love and truth for you and your family. Wonder Lake Bible Church.
Sermon today is one solitary message, and I say solitary because here it is, it's all by its lonesome today. But I have a feeling as I was preparing this, this might expand into a series at a later time because the subject is certainly worth that. But you recall last summer I asked you to fill out a little questionnaire of things that you'd like to hear, messages on, questions about things. And so I'm calling this Because You Asked, and you asked for a message about the majesty of God as seen in the Psalms. You also asked about the book of Revelation. That was the most popular one. That's coming in January. We're going to start the new year with the end. We're going to start at the beginning of the year with the end of all things, which is truly only the beginning of all things. But that's coming because you asked. So today, then, the majesty of God is seen in the Psalms, and we're going to focus in on one particular psalm. That is Psalm 145. As I have a feeling this may come back next year sometime as a series. But for today, I want us to get just a taste of the majesty of the greatness of God as we see it in Psalm 145. And I pray that you will see that, have this conviction from heart, from the bottom of your heart, that God is indeed most worthy. He's most worthy of our praise now and for all of eternity. For that is what we will do as believers in Jesus Christ. We praise Him not now only, but we will praise Him for all eternity, and He is most worthy. He is infinitely worthy of our praise. Before we look at the text, I'd like just to consider a few things about Psalm 145. Help us understand this a little better, what's happening. This is a hymn of praise, focusing on the glory of God, the majesty of God. And it was written by David, by King David. You know that David wrote quite a few psalms, we believe about 75 of them. And this is the last one of the psalms of David that are found in the book of Psalms. It's a rich hymn of praise, and it celebrates the greatness, the majesty of God. Now, the Hebrew writers like to use poetry. We like poetry. Anybody like poetry here? Fans of poetry? No. Well, they did too, and they had certain particular kinds of poetry. One form of poetry that they had is called an alphabetical acrostic poem. That's, I know that's a mouthful, isn't it? An alphabetical acrostic, which means this, is they would start each verse with a letter of the alphabet, and the following verse would be the next letter of the alphabet. For example, if we were to do that in English, we write an English acrostic poem celebrating the greatness of God. We wouldn't use the Hebrew. We'd use the English alphabet, which is what? A to Z, right? And so it might start something like this. The first line might say, all will praise Him. There's your A in all. All will praise Him. The next might say, bow down before Him. And the third line might say, commit your ways to Him. See, A, B, C, and so forth, all the way through to Z. Now, in English, we might have a little problem with X, wouldn't we? We'd probably have to cheat and say something like, examine your heart, or something like that. Or, xylophones, even those you created, Lord, something like that. But all 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet appear in this, in order like that. That's this poem. And, of course, we, reading this in English, we can't see that or appreciate that. But reading in the Hebrew, we would see that. So it really is a magnificent, wonderful poem here. It's about praise and a part of worship. Worship is many things. But at the heart of worship is a concentrated reflection and meditation on the truth of who God is and what He has done. I know we say that's easy for us to say, and maybe here, but do we really think about that? Who God is? Who is God? What is He like? What has God done? What is God going to do? When we truly reflect on that, we can't help but have our hearts overflow with praise. So I would ask then that as we read this in just a moment, I know it's easy to read a scripture passage, particularly this one, this is 21 verses here. You can kind of zone in and out a little bit sometimes. But I pray that you will worshipfully and prayerfully reflect as I read this. As I'm reading this, if you would like, even close your eyes and listen. Ask God to speak to you through His Word right now what you need to hear. And if you're listening by the podcast and you're driving, please don't close your eyes. But I do ask you to reflect on what we're saying, on what the Lord is saying. So now let us hear the Word of God. Psalm 145, a psalm of praise of David. I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. And I will meditate on your wonderful works. They will tell of the power of your awesome works. And I will proclaim your great deeds. They will celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all He has made. All you have made will praise you, O Lord. Your saints will extol you. They will tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all men may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is faithful to all His promises and loving toward all He has made. The Lord upholds all those who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all His ways and loving toward all He has made. The Lord is near to all who call on Him, to all who call on Him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear Him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love Him. But all the wicked He will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise His holy name forever and ever. Amen. This is a hymn of praise. A hymn of praise. Praise is another one of those terms that as believers we use all the time. We hear it all the time. But I'd like us to reflect for just a moment on what praise means. What does it mean to praise the Lord? Other than just a phrase, praise the Lord, what does it mean? To praise means to express approval or admiration or amazement of something or someone great. It's to rejoice at the greatness of something, the beauty of something, the power of something. For us as believers, we are expressing our admiration, our approval, our amazement, and rejoicing in the greatness of God, the beauty of God, the power of God, the holiness of God. So to praise is giving expression to the awesomeness of God. So when we praise the Lord, we're expressing the greatness of who God is and what He has done. And we see in these first verses here, in verses 1 and 2, we see some synonyms for praise: exalt and extol. To exalt means what? To lift up. Now, God is lifted up in might, but when we exalt Him, we're acknowledging that, and we're speaking of how great He truly is. To extol is the same thing. It's to say that, to give word to that. So He says, I will exalt you, my God, the King. When we exalt the Lord, we're not lifting Him up. He's already lifted up, but we're giving expression to the fact that He is great and lifted up. I will exalt you. I will praise your name. I will praise you. I will extol your name forever and ever. Praise, exalt, extol, to acknowledge the greatness of God, His majesty. The psalmist David here says, I will praise your name forever and ever. Your name. The scriptures, your name is synonymous with who God is, who He is, and what He's done. And here it speaks of His faithfulness, His covenant faithfulness. Covenant faithfulness means that God has made a sacred and solemn agreement with Himself to fulfill everything that He has promised. And so that's what God has done. I will praise your name forever and ever. Means we can put our trust and confidence in Him because He's going to come through and do everything He said that He will do. As God is forever loyal to us, His people, here David calls on us then to praise Him unceasingly for that, for His covenant, His name, His covenant faithfulness to us forever and ever. And in David's time, and after that, it became their practice where this psalm right here that we just read would be recited. They would read that. They would meditate and reflect on that twice in the morning and then once again in the evening service. So let us praise His name. Why? Because He is most worthy of it. Let me ask you something. When you see, do we have any sports fans here? Okay, a few of us. When you just see an amazing catch that you can't believe that receiver just came down with that. If you're sitting there with other people, do you just sit there and watch it and say, well, that was interesting? You call attention to it, don't you? You praise it. You say, look at that. Did you see that amazing catch? You're praising that quarterback who put it right in there. You're praising that receiver who came down with it. You're calling attention to it. You're lifting it up. You're exalting it. Or how about if you love the beauty of nature and you go out and maybe you're in Colorado. You see the mountains and the valleys and the streams and you see this beautiful picture. Do you sit there and just say, well, that's nice. What do? You praise it, don't you? If you're talking about it, you say, look at that. Look at how beautiful that is. That's what we're to do as God's people. When we praise Him, we're saying, look how great God is. And so I would suggest if we have trouble sometimes in worship and praise, it's probably because our vision of the greatness of God isn't so clear. But when we reflect on that, we will see that He is indeed most worthy. Series of paragraphs with statements that express a theme about the Lord. The Lord, in your Bible, you may notice that's all capital letters, Lord, L-O-R-D. Why is that? Why isn't just capital L, lowercase O-R-D? When you see capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, that is signifying that that word that's being translated is God's covenant name, His faithful name, that name that He gave to Moses at the burning bush that He said, you know, who are you that I should tell your people that you've sent me? And He said, my name is what? I am. Yahweh. Yahweh is God's covenant. So the Lord, this is Yahweh. I am. You might think, doesn't that sound like a strange name? I am. But you think if you're God and you're not, okay? If you are God, what better way to express your name and who you are than simply to say what? I am. He is everything. He is the beginning of all things. He's the end of all things. He is without beginning or end himself. He simply ams, right? No, he is. He is. I am. He is the ground of all being in existence. He is everything. I am. Who are you? I am. The Lord, I am, Yahweh, is great. God is great. Yahweh is great. So why should we praise him now and forever and ever? Because he is most worthy, because he is the great I am. He's the great king who's most worthy of our praise. The scripture here speaks of his majesty. What is his majesty? Majesty is greatness, it's sovereignty, it's power. The majesty of God is his great sovereign power over all things. God is high and lifted up. He is above all. He is infinitely great and majestic, and he sovereignly rules over all creation, everything. I like what it says, verse 3a, and that wasn't Canadian, 3a, 3 letter A. It says, verse 3, great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. And it says, his greatness no one can fathom. You know what that's saying? You and I are not capable of truly understanding the greatness of God. We simply can't do that. As I said, one of the reasons why we may have trouble sometimes praising God is we're not truly seeing him or understanding him as he is. Well, the scripture goes so far as to say we can't even do it truly, understand and fathom who he is. You cannot fathom or understand how great God truly is. You may have a glimpse of it, and that glimpse may be enough to cause you to fall down and worship and praise right then and there, but you truly cannot fathom just how great God is. Do you think that your dog or your cat fathoms your mind and what it's like to be a human being? When you leave your cat or dog behind, you say goodbye in the morning and you're off and you go about and you're doing your life and everything that you're dealing with, and then you come home in the evening, do you think your dog, your cat truly fathoms you? No. We don't fathom. We cannot fathom God. He's high and lifted up. We cannot fully understand his greatness. You know, I think there's a reason why the creation, the more we understand, the more we learn, it just gets bigger and bigger and more amazing and unfathomable. Now, you can set this as this is Dan's opinion for a moment here, okay? I'm not preaching you the word of God right here, what I'm about to say, but I'm going to say it because it's just an opinion on something. Some of you know I have a little hobby. That hobby is astronomy, cosmology, the big picture, the universe. And it's incredible. The more you learn about that, the more you study just how more and more amazing and how large the universe is. Did you know that as recently as 1930, our best scientists believed that the universe basically consisted of what we now know as simply our galaxy, the Milky Way galaxy, that was the universe, which is a mere 100,000 light years across. 100,000 light years is pretty big, okay? But on the scale of the universe, that's nothing. And we believed as recently as 1930 that that Milky Way galaxy was the universe. And then a man named Edwin Hubble discovered, no, there are many other galaxies out there. Those foggy things of light that we thought were gas clouds, those were distant galaxies. And our next door neighbor galaxy, the Andromeda galaxy, is 2 million light years away from us. In other words, if you were to get in a ship that could travel the speed of light, which is impossible, but let's say you could, just to get to our next door neighbor galaxy, it'd take you 2 million years traveling at the speed of light. And then you discover, the more or less, that guess what? Our universe consists of hundreds of billions, 200 billion galaxies. This thing has just gotten a whole lot bigger. Before, we went from, and so in the space of, you know, and just practically overnight, we went from a universe which was about 100,000 light years to this galaxy, billions of light years. And guess what? Now it turns out there may be, just like there we used to think that this galaxy was all there was, there may be other universes. And all that we see and perceive as our universe is actually just one of perhaps many, many more. And guess what? Even what we perceive right here in and amongst us now, we think of four dimensions, height, width, length, and time. Those are the four dimensions. There may actually, in this universe right here, there may exist 11 dimensions, only four of which we experience and perceive. What's my point in saying all of this? Is that the more we learn, the more amazing things get when we look at God's creation. How much more so the God who is the creator of it all? And I think that we just have the tiniest bit of understanding of who God is right now. And that one day when we see him face to face, it's going to be like that realization of our galaxy is just one of a couple hundred billion. Is we're going to say our knowledge and understanding of the greatness of God is going to suddenly go expand beyond our ability to comprehend right now. And I would suggest to you that we're going to spend all eternity with our view of God just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. I hope you're getting a picture here of the greatness of God and why then we should praise him now and forever. That's why we're going to praise him forever and ever, is because he's just going to keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger forever and ever. Well, he's not going to get bigger. Let me rephrase that. That sounds wrong. Our understanding of the greatness of God is going to increase and increase and increase. Somebody's going to pull that off the internet and say, did you hear what that false teacher said at Wonder Lake Bible Church, that God is changing? No, God does not change. He says, I am, and he is what he is, now and forever. His name be praised. So the Lord is great. And we must pass along from one generation to next an awareness of the greatness of God, who he is and what he's done. Verses 4 through 7, praise what? His mighty acts, the creation, salvation, final judgment, a new heaven and new earth. The splendor of his majesty. You can't help but praise, sports fan, an amazing play. Nature lovers, you can't help but praise that mountain and valley scene. Believers, we can't help but praise the majesty, the splendor of God's majesty. We will celebrate your abundant goodness and righteousness. The Lord is great. The Lord is gracious. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, rich in love. Is anybody here thankful that God is a gracious God? Could you imagine a universe in which God, remember, God knows all things. Nothing is hidden from his sight. He knows absolutely everything about you. He knows everything that you've ever thought. Not only everything you've ever done, he knows everything you've ever thought, everything you've ever said, and everything you ever will think and say and do. And he knows infinitely every possibility of every choice we might ever make. And that's for every human being who has ever lived or ever will live. He knows every galaxy, every star in it, every planet, everything about it. He knows everything that ever has happened, is happening now, and ever will happen. He has infinite power. There is nothing that he cannot do. Well, except for one thing. He can't sin. Imagine a God that knows everything and has all power, can do absolutely everything and anything. What if he was not gracious? What if he was not good? So are you grateful for God's goodness and his graciousness? Are you grateful that he's compassionate? Are you grateful that he's slow to anger? That he's rich in love? All that power, all that knowledge, and what if there was no mercy or compassion or goodness? Scripture says here too that his kingdom is an eternal kingdom. The kingdom of God is a term that's used in different ways in the scriptures. In this sense here, it is speaking of God's eternal rule and reign over all things. His eternal kingdom is the kingdom of God is the rule and the reign of God. And the eternal kingdom is the fact that he rules and reigns over all things, always has and always will for all eternity. That's his eternal kingdom. And he's the king. He is the sovereign over it all. So praise that God is great. Praise that God is gracious. Praise that he is the king over an eternal kingdom. Praise then, too, that God is faithful. The Lord is faithful. Are you grateful that God is faithful to his promise, that he does what he says he's going to do? Some of you know some people, maybe you're one of them, who are very, very reliable and dependable. If they say they're going to do it, they will do it. But I have yet to meet any human being who is faithful in the way that God is faithful. I know some very faithful and reliable people, but you can't depend on anyone 100%, can you? Because we're all, well, we're just human, aren't we? And not only do we fail sometimes morally, sometimes the problem is we may have every intention of fulfilling our promise, but we get prevented from doing that in some way by a power or a force or a circumstance beyond our control. Does God ever get prevented from fulfilling his promises because of a circumstance that was out of his control? You promise that you are going to be there for your daughter or your granddaughter's performance at the show, but on the way there, your car broke down and you had to wait for the tow truck and all that, and you didn't make it. God never has to wait for a tow truck. He's never wringing his hands because of, well, gee, I didn't see that coming. He never says that. Nothing is ever beyond his power. He is not subject to anything in the creation. He is sovereign over the creation. And so God is faithful morally, but in power as well. Are you grateful for that? Are you grateful that God loves all that he made, that he upholds those who fall? Anybody here ever fallen and need to be picked up? He lifts up those who are bowed down. Who does he lift up? Those who are arrogantly lifting their heads up and saying, I am the sovereign of the universe? No. Those whose heads are bowed down, humbly acknowledging that he and he alone is the sovereign Lord. He provides for the needs of those who trust in him. Some of these things that he says here, the psalmist does, David, and where he talks about how God is good and faithful, loving to his creation, cares for their needs, fulfills their desires. Some of you may say, boy, you know what? I don't know. God hasn't always come through for me. Is that true? Did God fail to come through for you or provide for you? No, that's not really true, is it? Because God always comes through. He just doesn't provide what we think we need. But he's faithful always to provide for those who trust in him what we need, when we need it, as he sees it, and also from the perspective of eternity, right? Well, Jesus said those who trust in him will never die. But yet we do die, don't we, physically? What did he mean? We'll never die spiritually, eternally. We have eternal life. So God provides. He gives us all that we need. He satisfies our desires. And some of those desires will not be fully met this side of heaven. But they will be. The Lord is righteous. He's holy. There is no sin in him. He is morally just. He never does anything wrong. He's near to those who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. He watches over all who love him. And because he's righteous and just, he will judge the wicked. Now here's that part you've heard before. He said, oh, there he goes, he's going to say it again. And yep, here it comes. Because God is righteous and just, that means no one is getting away with anything, and that there is no such thing as ultimate injustice in the universe, is there? Nobody's really getting away with anything. Do people get away with things in this life? Do they escape human justice? You bet. Happens all the time, doesn't it? But is anybody truly escaping the sovereign's all-knowing eye? Is anybody escaping final justice? Absolutely not. So what does that mean? That means you and I need to put our trust in God and his final justice. Well, he will judge the wicked. God's going to have the final word on everybody and everything. And so we can release the evil around us into his hands for final judgment. And we need then to trust him. We need to pray for those who persecute us or wound us. We need to pray that God would change our hearts. But we'll leave the final judging in his hand, and he will do it because he is righteous. And finally, then, in light of all this, God is to be praised. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. I will speak in praise. You must speak in praise. Let every creature, let all speak in praise his holy name forever and ever. The majesty of God, the majesty is his greatness, his power. As I said, there is nothing that he cannot do except sin. His knowledge, there's nothing that escapes his knowledge. He knows what you had for breakfast this morning. He knows what you had for breakfast 10 years ago on this day. And he knows what you're going to have for breakfast 10 years from now, should the Lord Jesus tarry. But he knows everything, every thought, every desire of your heart. He knows everything that you don't even know about yourself. And that's why he's a good person to pray to, because he knows everything about us that we don't even know ourselves. God is exalted in power. God is exalted in knowledge. God is exalted in holiness. He is infinite. It's not just that he never does anything wrong or sinful. It's that he is, by nature, infinitely morally perfect and good. He is the standard by which all morality is determined and judged. How do you know what's right and wrong? Well, the secularist would tell you, well, we take a vote. We decide that we decide what we think is going to be right or wrong. No, the right or wrong springs from the nature of God, who he is. He says what he says because it flows from his infinitely perfect nature. His power, his knowledge, his holiness, his faithfulness. He will come through for you every time. And his love. There is no greater love than God's love. Well, what shall we say to all of this? I hope your vision or your view of God has perhaps been expanded just a little bit here this morning. I know mine certainly has in preparing this. We think we know things, don't we? Do we really? My view of God has increased, and I pray yours has too. Well, what are we to do? What are we to do with this? The first thing I would say this is praise him. Say, I know I should praise him, but I'm not going to let you get away with just sitting there and hearing that. I want to hear from you. Who wants to praise the Lord this morning? Right back there, Courtney. Courtney is going to praise the Lord. She's praising the Lord right now. Good. Very good. Okay. Right. She's praising the Lord Jesus and praying that the Lord will help Grandma's foot feel better. Yeah. And I know Grandma would like her foot to feel better too, wouldn't she? Yes, she would. Who else wants to praise the Lord here this morning? Who wants to praise the Lord? Who wants to give thanks? Ralph. Okay. Ralph gives thanks for this local body. We're all wonderful people, so we're glad to have you with us, Ralph. No, actually, the truth is we're not so wonderful, are we? But Jesus is a wonderful Savior, and he's delivered us and brought us together. Yep. Yep. What, that I'm not such a wonderful person? No. Okay. And I'm glad to have you with us too, Lynn, so... What about you, Susan?
For his word, the truth.
His word is the truth. We don't have to stumble around in the darkness, do we? We know we have truth right here. We can give praise God for that, that he is truth, and that he's expressed that truth to us in a way that we can understand. Fully? Of course not, but in a way that we can understand. How about, Rick. Amen. We give praise for salvation, that the sovereign king sacrificed his own son. And that his own son, he too is the sovereign, isn't he? He came into his own creation that then rejected him and gave his life in order that we might live. So let's praise him, and then there's a couple of other things we can do. We can tell others. We can tell others. From generation, it starts in your family. Your family, friends, acquaintances, whoever we come across, tell others. Tell them how great God is. You know, there's a particular culture, a subset of that culture, that believes God is great. And they like to shout that before they blow people up and kill them. Is that how you tell others that God is great? No, we tell others that God is great by shining a light on the God of the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ. Tell others about the greatness of God. And then thank Him. One of the things, thank Him that you will praise Him forever. You're not going to choose this just right now. Whatever you may be feeling right now and praise for Him, you're going to do that forever. And I think your view and your vision of God and mine is just going to expand forever because God is infinite. Praise Him. Tell others. Thank Him. Thank Him that you will praise Him forever. Let's pray. Lord, thank You. Thank You for who You are. The Almighty Sovereign Lord of the universe, Lord, You know all things. You can do all things. You are infinitely righteous and holy. You are faithful. You are good. You are loving. You are gracious. You are compassionate. Lord, we will spend eternity with You because of Your graciousness. By faith, we have received the gift of salvation. And by faith, we praise You now this morning. Lord, give us boldness in proclaiming this message of telling others of Your greatness. May we be faithful in our families, in our workplaces, our neighborhood, and joyfully proclaiming the good news of who You are and what You've done for us. And we thank You that we will praise You forever and ever and ever. And it's in Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen.